the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride. Welcome to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host and conductor of the number one podcast in the state of Kansas, Anthony Smith. On a Tuesday evening, and no, you're not hearing all the bells and whistles that you normally hear, but nonetheless, you will still get some good, great content as only I can deliver, and hopefully you will be entertained on the ride. Once again, this is Tuesday evening, and one of the things I want to do is, because I want to always keep you informed on what's happening pretty much throughout the state, like I did during the football season with the Football Blitz, my new segment now called the Full Court Press, as not only do I give you scores, but I also give you updated rankings. And tonight I'm going to start off with the rankings in girls 6A and work my way all the way down. Hopefully I'll get to the boys' rankings. Now I know that tonight, Tuesday, is normally a basketball night, but also got a lot of cover on the national scene as well, too. So you're going to get a little bit of both worlds locally, statewide, and on the national sports scene. Because I definitely want to unpack some things as in regards to the college football playoff, my take on that as well. And looking at some other things in the NFL and the NBA, as a matter of fact. So buckle up and enjoy the ride as we start looking at the rankings in girls 6A. Coming in number one this week, you got Blue Valley North. Number two, Shawnee Mission South. Number three, Wichita South, who opened their season with a resounding win. I mean, it was total annihilation. Number four is Blue Valley. Number five, Wichita Heights. Number six, Topeka Washburn. Number seven, although they suffered a loss to Bishop Carroll, coming in at number seven, Wichita Southeast. Number eight, Olathe Northwest. Number nine, Lawrence. Number 10, Liberal. 5A girls, number one, Andover. Number two, St. Thomas Aquinas. Number three, Lenexa St. James Academy. Number four, Topeka Seaman. Number five, Wichita Bishop Carroll. Number six, Emporia. Number seven, May South. Number eight, Baser Linwood. Number nine, Andover Central. Number 10, Topeka Highland Park. 4A girls look like this: Roland Park, Bishop Miege. Number two, McPherson. Number three, Wamego. Number four, Wellington. Number five, Parsons. Number six, Clay Center. Number seven, Tonganoxie. Number eight, Eudora. Number nine, Altamont, Labette County. Number 10, Independence. 3A girls look like this: number one, Silver Lake. Number two, Topeka Hayden. Number three, Colby. Number four, Seneca, Nemaha Central. Number five, Heston. Number six, Carbondale, Santa Fe Trail. Number seven, Rossville. Number eight, Halstead. Number nine, Cheney. And number 10, 17 miles from the Kansas-Colorado border, Gutland. 2A girls, Pittsburgh, St. Mary's Colgan. Number two, Wathena, Riverside. Number three, Hillsboro. Number four, Hoxie. Number five, Leote, Wichita County. Number six, Wichita, the Independent School. Number seven, Smith Center. Number eight, Elbing, Berean Academy. Number nine, Remington. Number 10, Eureka. Class 1A Division I girls, number one, Little River. Number two, Frankfort. Number three, Clyde, Clifton Clyde. Number four, Montezuma, South Gray. Number five, Highland, Donovan West. Number six, St. John Hudson. Number seven, Norwich. Number eight, Opie. Number nine, Claflin, Central Plains. Number 10, Centralia. 1A Division II girls look like this. Number one, Hanover. Number two, Lebo. Number three, Buckland. Number four, Beloit St. John's Tipton. Number five, Sharon Springs, Wallace County. Number six, Hutchinson Central Christian. Number seven, South Haven. Number eight, Attica. Number nine, Ingalls. Number 10, Wheatland Grinnell. Now a look at the boys' rankings, starting with 6A. The obvious choice, number one, Wichita Heights. Number two, Blue Valley Northwest. Number three, Shawnee Mission Northwest. Number four, Mill Valley. Number five, Derby. Number six, Olathe North. Number seven, Olathe West. Number eight, Topeka Washburn Rural. Number nine, Lawrence. Number 10, Blue Valley. 5A boys, coming in number one, Mays South. Number two, Wichita Cape and Mount Carmel, coached by Steve Eck, the legendary coach. Number three, Topeka Highland Park. Number four, DeSoto. Number five, Topeka Seaman. Number six, Blue Valley Northwest. Number seven, Topeka West. Number eight, Andover. Number nine, Pittsburgh. Number 10, Hutchinson. 4A boys, number one, McPherson. Number two, Hugleton. Number three, Atchison. Number four, Roland Park Bishop Miege. Number five, Eudora. Number six, Towanda Circle. Number seven, Baldwin. Number eight, St. George Rock Creek. Number nine, Ottawa. Number 10, Fort Scott. 3A boys, right here in the city of Wichita. Number one, Wichita Collegiate. Number two, Heston. Number three, Cheney. Number four, Beloit. Number five, Haven. Number six, Wellsville. Number seven, Marysville. Number eight, Galena. Number nine, Gibson, southeast of Saline. Number 10, Topeka Hayden. And now we look at 2A boys. Number one, Sterling. Number two, Wichita Independent. Number three, Moundridge. Number four, Bennington. Number five, Meade. Number six, Pittsburgh, St. Mary's Colgan. Number seven, Linden. Number eight, Medicine Lodge. Number nine, Oxford. Number 10, Sedan. 1A Division I boys, Montezuma South Gray. Number two, Colorado. Coldwater South Central. Number three, Maxville. Number four, Osborne. Number five, Opie. Number six, Canton Galva. Number seven, Clyde, Clifton Clyde. Number eight, Little River. Number nine, Centralia. Number 10, Sylvan Lucas. Now, 1A Division II boys. Number one, Lebo. Number two, Axtell. Number three, McPherson, Elira Christian. Number four, Hanover. Number five, Almena, Northern Valley. Number six, Beloit, St. John's Tipton. Number seven, Dighton. Number eight, Cunningham. Number nine, Hartford. Number 10, Buckland. So there you have it right there. Your rankings for boys and girls, all classifications. Get out and support these young men and women as they entertain y'all in their sport called basketball. As I said, there is a lot I want to uncover. And what I am going to do right here, I am going to take a break. And when I come back, we're going to get into some things on the national scene. A look at the college football playoff. A look at what a 12-team playoff will look like. And so much more right here on the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. The number one podcast in the state of Kansas.
Chip, crack, or completely broken. Does your vehicle need the glass man?
Hey, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Hey, glass man.
The glass man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, glass man.
Bring your vehicle to the glass man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome back into the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Your host and conductor of the state's number one podcast. This is Anthony Smith. And you're all aboard the A-Train Sports Talk podcast as we take this journey down the track of sports talk at its best. So, Wichita State went on the road, played a true road game, and I would say a valiant effort. They're still only playing seven players at most. A lot of people are saying that's going to eventually catch up to us. That's neither here nor there. The coach, I feel, knows what he's doing. That's why he's paid the dollars, and we are basically armchair coaches at best. I've had spirited debate with an individual. I've also had friendly chatter with people in a chat room regarding Wichita State. And let's just face it, the elephant in the room, 18 turnovers. So there's no secret that turnovers proved costly for Wichita State in an 82-72 road loss at Missouri on Sunday afternoon. Wichita State 7-2 came into the game having committed just 14 turnovers in its last two games, but finished with 18 in a hostile road environment, one off a season high. Mizzou scored 20 points off those turnovers. Underline that. Mizzou scored 20 points off of those 18 turnovers. Now, if I do the math, then that means Missouri left 16 points on the floor somewhere. Just keep that in mind, okay? Kobe Rogers scored a team-high 17 points on 6 of 14 shooting. Harlan Beverly recorded his first double-double with 12 points and a career-high 17 rebounds, while also adding 4 assists and 4 steals. Isaac Abidi, 11, and Xavier Bell, 10, rounded out double-figure scores. Wichita State attempted 28 three-pointers, the second most in the game this season, but made only 8, or 28.6%. An area Wichita State dominated was the glass, out-rebounding the Tigers 48-32. 18 of those came on the offensive end, which means there was opportunity for second chance points. Both teams combined to go 35 for 38 at the free throw line. Mizzou was 23 for 25, and Wichita State was 12 for 13. In other words, there's an 11 point difference right there at the free throw line. You see, I'm pausing and pointing out key highlights as to where points were left on the floor and where points could have been gained, whereas things could have been flipped around and Wichita State possibly wins this game by 1 point. Wichita State could not have got off to a worse start to begin the game. The Shockers had 6 turnovers in the first 3 minutes and 34 seconds, allowing Missouri to get out to a 7-0 lead. Wichita State turned it over only 6 times total last time out against Richmond. A Paul Mills timeout sells his team down as the Shockers pulled within 3, 10-7 at the 13:43 mark. The first half would feature a game of runs. After Wichita State pulled within 3, Missouri immediately stretched it back to 9, barely a minute later. With 6:35 left, Wichita State clawed back in behind a 7-0 run to make it a 2-point game. After another Missouri 10-2 spurt pushed the margin back to double digits, Bell kickstarted another 8-0 answer to come within a pair at the 2:24 mark. Rogers and Bell knocked down back-to-back triples in the run. A fast and frenzied first half came to an end with Mizzou leading 31-41-34. The two teams combined to make 13 three-pointers, with Wichita State going 6 of 12 and Mizzou 7 of 20. Now, notice that. 6 of 12 in the first half. That's a 50% clip. I would take that any day of the week. However, turnovers were the key to the first half as Wichita State committed 10 miscues to only 2 for the Tigers. Those 10 turnovers led directly to 16 points for Mizzou. With Mizzou leading by 9 with 11:09 remaining, Wichita State once again refused to go away. Over the next 5 minutes, the margin would hover between 4-8 until Beverly went on a personal 7-0 run, cutting it to a 2-point game with 3:51 left. Out of a timeout, Caleb Grill knocked down a corner three, and Bell answered with a floater, keeping it a one-possession game. Wichita State had back-to-back open looks at a tying three-pointer from Bell and Poto, but both drew iron. On the ensuing Mizzou possession, Sean East II drained a dagger three-pointer to put the Tigers up 74-68. Two more Mizzou free throws and a Nick Honor floater pushed the deficit to 10 with less than a minute on the clock. And that's how things pretty much played out. But I pointed out certain things because even with 18 turnovers, if we could just make a few more trips to the free throw line, that only comes by attacking the basket. Now, here's an analogy. There's three things that are going to happen. One, the defender is going to put himself in the position to get a charge. Two, he's going to make a clean play on the guy that's attacking the rim. Or three, the guy that's attacking the rim is going to draw a foul, possibly an and-one situation. Note of interest, there was one Xavier McDaniel who was in attendance at the game. I caught some of his comments, and he was impressed with the offensive rebounding. However, he wasn't impressed with the all of a sudden barrage of three-point shots that were misses in the final minutes of the game. Especially when you point out the fact that when we were in attack mode, we had Missouri on his heels. Basically, he said, we went away from what was working. And oftentimes, I find that to be the case with Wichita State in instances. Now, granted, I have to say this, and some people's feathers are going to be ruffled because some people are still attached to Greg Marshall, some people are still attached to Isaac Brown. Isaac Brown, granted, we didn't have no losing season up under him, but you could tell the difference in the gameplay this year as opposed to even last year. What happened Sunday looked like a fallback into one of the trends from last year. Every open look from three is not a good look. And if you were attacking them and it was working, in essence, what they were doing is they were trying to fix something that wasn't broke. If you have something that's working, you keep working it until the other team finds a way to stop you. It's kind of reminiscent to back in the days now, because I find it hard to say, believe that I'm saying this now. Back in the days, those of you who remember Kansas State football, Bill Snyder was set in his ways, and he said, this is our game plan. You knew what the game plan was going to be from the first game to the end, final game of the season, and yet they were still successful at doing what they did best, playing their brand of ball game. All I'm simply saying is, if you got something that's working, you keep doing it until it's not working. Plain and simple. Paul Mills, as a matter of fact, I believe went on record and said, do simple and be the best at doing simple things. And one of the simple things would be to, if you're in attack mode, you keep attacking, keep it simple, make the defender commit to you, make him have to do one or two things, or three things, as I alluded to. One, you're either going to draw the charge, you're either going to stop me cleanly, or I'm going to draw the foul. Those are your three options when you're in attack mode. In most cases, when you're in attack mode, sometimes the defense panics. It was working for us because at the end of the day, we only ended up shooting 28.6% from the three-point line. Now, to me, that's not acceptable. And another thing Xavier said in comments when they caught up with him, he said, I know analytics say to shoot him, but he also made another good valid point. Analytics ain't never played a game of basketball either. You got to be careful when you're dealing with analytics. You may see on the charts where it says one player is shooting 45% from three-point range. The question is, what's the volume of three-point shots he's actually shot, and could you actually trust him when the game is on the line? Well, anyway, up next for Wichita State, they will be making a trek downtown to Interest Bank Arena on Saturday, where they will face off with South Dakota State in a 6 p.m. tip-off game. And trust me, I will come back later this week to break down that matchup as well, too. But there you have my take on the Wichita State situation on how they could have actually overcame 18 turnovers. Trust me, some people are upset about the turnovers, but I've seen Wichita State throughout the years. I've seen 18 turnover performance, but I also seen a victory. Do I need to say it again? I've seen 18 turnover performance, but I also seen a victory in spite of the turnovers. And all I'm saying is when you look at the points that Missouri didn't capitalize on, and you look at the discrepancy at the free throw line, we still could have overcame 18 turnovers and win this game by at least 1 or 2 points. So there you have my take on Wichita State, Missouri outcome. And now it's time to move forward. I know some people are saying, good, about time. But sometimes you have to look back in order to move forward. Well, sticking with basketball still, going to the NBA. Word out of Clipperland, and I know there's some Clipper fans that will probably be listening to this. There's only one basketball. The there's only one basketball line was the easy joke to make when the Clippers traded for James Harden, placing him next in a Los Angeles native quartet with Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George. But to hear from a Clippers player, this line was in fantastic Sam Amick interview with Harden at the Athletic. As veteran forward P.J. Tucker put it, there's not enough basketballs on the planet for this team, really. Okay then. So, Coach Tyronn Lue has been clear that developing chemistry on this team is a work in progress. But watch the Clippers play and you see four stars playing next to each other most of the time. Not with each other. Ooh, let's say it again. You see four stars playing next to each other most of the time, not with each other. That's a big difference right there. Here is what Harden had to say on building that chemistry. We show really good signs, and then we have lapses like where it's like, damn, we should have won this if this would have happened. Could have, would have, should have. But we've got a whole season of this, obviously. We want to win games while we're going through figuring it out. But we'll see what this team looks like going into the postseason. That's the most important thing. Let's see what we look like in the playoffs. Should have been the Clippers tagline the past few seasons, and it hasn't tended to work out as well as it seems like it should on paper. After an ugly 0-5 start after the Harden trade, the Clippers are 6-3 over the next nine with a plus 5.4 net rating over that stretch. A good sign. However, this is still an isolation-heavy team. The Clippers average a league-high 11.7 isolation possessions a game. Of 10.5 and a half of their possessions, also a league-high. Los Angeles scores 0.99 points on those possessions, which is good for isolation possessions top 10 in the league. But it's not the most efficient way to score. The Clippers have an assist on 63.6% of their buckets in those nine games, up over their season average of 60.3, but not as dramatically as Lue might have hoped. There is not a lot of movement off the ball with this team yet, and they don't get out much in transition with the starters. Westbrook pushes the pace when he comes in. It's a lot of your turn, my turn, still with the Clippers. And if they are going to be a playoff threat like they hope, that has to change. And they have to stay healthy. A concern with this roster. Things are taking a step in the right direction, but there's a lot of steps to go. So here's where I want you to weigh in. Can the Clippers figure it out before the playoffs and make a deep run in the playoffs? That remains to be seen. But when one of your own calls you out and says there's not enough balls on the planet, and you've seen in this article there's some saying that they play your turn, my turn, that is not a recipe for success. In my opinion, that's a recipe for disaster. Well, you're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk podcast. I'm going to take another break right here, and I'll be back shortly with some more take on the landscape of college football and the playoffs as we know it. Stay tuned to the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. Be right back after this.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P Seed and Babe, is fully stocked for all your pet needs. We carry Victor, Bully Max, Diamond Value Pack, and many more brands. In addition, we carry collars, chains, and any pet supplies you may need, including grooming supplies and dog shots. Make sure to like us on social media.
Chip, crack, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the glass man?
Hey, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Hey, glass man.
The glass man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, glass man.
Bring your vehicle to the glass man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
You're listening to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast for another segment here. It may be my last segment. It may not be. I do know that I have to get ready to go to work here shortly, and the coffee is smelling oh so good. Yeah, I'm a third shifter. But it's giving me a time to get some more podcasting, get some more good content. And we have just witnessed a travesty called the College Football Playoff Final Four selection. Yes, it's a travesty how it went down, how there's one team, unblemished season, and unfortunately, they won't have nothing to show for. And the way the bracket is set up, so what we're looking at is we're looking at Alabama, Texas. In essence, we have two SEC teams. However, the Big 12 gets to get the profit from that. So, don't know how Brett Yormack is feeling as being commissioner of the Big 12, seeing Texas represent the conference in that light, because he went on record. They was going to play, I believe, Texas Tech, and he had his rooting interest in Texas Tech. It's kind of like, if I could reference it, y'all remember back in the day, Michigan basketball, I believe it was, and one of their coaches decided they was going to take a job, and I think Bo Schembechler, he might have been serving as AD. I forget who was serving as the AD, but he said, oh, well, if he don't want to coach Michigan, then I'll only want a Michigan man coaching Michigan. And he went ahead and terminated his services right on the spot. Didn't let him coach out the rest of the season, and got him Steve Fisher, who I believe was a Michigan man. I may be off on my assessment, but in essence, I'm pretty sure Brett Yormack is thinking he would have rather had a Big 12 team in the College Football Playoff Final Four. Can I tell you something, though? Let's hypothetically say if Kansas had went undefeated, based on how Florida State got shafted, even Kansas probably wouldn't have made it into the College Football Final Four. The reason Florida State didn't make it, and it's a lame one, I will say that, very lame, is because their star quarterback, Travis Ford, isn't playing. What kind of excuse is that to give? That I don't even think the committee, when they made that boneheaded decision based off of that, I don't even think they believe they even said that they on sale. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a 12-team playoff would have saved us all from college football playoff controversy in 2023. The expanded format comes to college football next season, but could have been in place this year. And if it were, undefeated Florida State would have easily made the postseason field and had a chance at the national title. Same for Georgia, a team that fell from number one to number six in the rankings after a three-point loss to Alabama. Now, let me stop right there because I'm going to say this, and I mean every word I say up. The reason Georgia did not get in, because there has been a scenario where I believe the SEC champ has lost, and they still had two SEC brand names in the college football final playoffs. The reason they did that, because in essence, Texas is an SEC team still wearing the Big 12 patch. Bottom line. And they couldn't justify having theoretically and technically three SEC teams in the college football Final Four. You may disagree with me, but I'm sticking to that. I mean, there's a few people that actually agree with me on that assessment, though. Now, if Texas wouldn't have won the Big 12, here's how I see this playing out. Alabama beats Georgia. Alabama's number one team. Alabama at best can only fall to number four, which is still going to give them a spot in the college football playoffs. Alabama, since they jumped them, probably number one seed, number two seed. You have Michigan, and you have an undefeated Washington team in there. That's how that plays out. To be Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Washington. Hands down. But no, Texas had to win. Oh, and since Texas beat Alabama, well, you got to put Alabama in as well, too. So that's a lot of leapfrogging, which I don't think they were actually deserving of it. But since Alabama beat Georgia and the SEC had to have representation, based on Nick Saban, that's how they get in there. But since the playoff is at four teams for the final time, both the Seminoles and Bulldogs are left out of the field. If you run what a 12-team playoff would look like with both FSU and UGA in the field, I have you covered. Here's how the field would stack up if the impending expansion was in place in 2023. As a reminder, the six highest-ranked conference champions would have earned automatic berths, leaving six wildcard spots for the top teams who didn't win their conference. With the dissolution of the Pac-12, the field will likely include five conference champions and seven wildcards next season. So teams with first-round buys would be like this: Michigan, 13-0 Big Ten champ; Washington, 13-0 Pac-12 champion; Texas, 12-1 Big 12 champion / SEC conference affiliate; Alabama, 12-1 SEC champion. The current playoff field would each receive buys in the second round as the top four conference champions. First round matchups: number five Florida State, 12-1 ACC champion. That is a typo. They're not 12-1. They're undefeated. Versus number 12, Liberty, 13-0 Conference USA champion. The Seminoles will get a home game against a team it would be heavily favored against, no matter who was playing QB for FSU. Notice that, no matter who was playing QB for FSU. Liberty was ranked one spot ahead of AAC champion SMU, 11-2, despite playing the weakest schedule in college football. Number six, Georgia, 12-1 at large versus number 11, Ole Miss, 10-2 at large. Boy, look at the SEC love right there. Boy. All the SEC bias. Yes, I said it. This game would be a rematch of a November contest that Georgia won easily. The Bulldogs blew out the Rebels 52-17 after it clinched the SEC East title hours earlier thanks to Tennessee's loss to Missouri. The win was Georgia's second in 2 weeks over a top 12 opponent and pushed the Bulldogs to number one in the CFP rankings. Number 7, Ohio State, 11-1 at large versus number 10, Penn State, 10-2 at large. It's another rematch of a game that wasn't all that close. This hypothetical playoff would be much more fun if Penn State traveled to Athens and Ole Miss went to Columbus. Ohio State beat Penn State 20-12 in October as the Nittany Lions were a gruesome 1-16 on third downs. Number 8, Oregon, 11-2 at large versus number 9, Missouri, 10-2 at large. This would be the most fun matchup of the first round given the current rankings. Oregon QB Bo Nix is completing 77% of his passes, while Missouri QB Brady Cook made one of the biggest leaps from 2022 to 2023 of any QB. The Ducks and Tigers each boast a 3,000-yard passer, Nix and Cook, a 1,000-yard rusher, Bucky Irving and Cody Schrader, and a 1,000-yard receiver, Troy Franklin and Luther Burden. So that's how a 12-team playoff picture would look had they played it out like that today. Your thoughts. Did the committee screw things up this year? My answer, without any further explanation, is a resounding yes, they screwed this up. Closing out, what would any podcast or any sports talk news be if Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the mix? Basically, with everything surrounding Zach Wilson, and we know that Aaron Rodgers is not the one who takes anyone pretty much under his wings. He has his certain receivers throughout the years that he has trusted, and when he gets traded, he makes concessions for certain receivers to be a part of the team. He gets upset when certain receivers that he likes are traded away. Well, I believe he has taken Zach Wilson under his wings. Because with everything that's going on, Aaron Rodgers is having none of it when it comes to negative reports about Zach Wilson. So a report from The Athletic said Wilson is reluctant to start again for the New York Jets. Rodgers, who is still recovering from a torn Achilles tendon, doesn't believe it. Winning organizations don't do that to one of their own. And Rodgers had pointed words Tuesday for whoever leaked that information. That's the problem with the organization, Rodgers said on the Pat McAfee show. We need to get to the bottom of whatever this is coming from and put a stop to it privately, because there is no place in a winning culture where, and this isn't the only time, there's been a bunch of leaks. Well, right now we know that the New York Jets darn sure don't have a winning culture. I think it's chicken bleep at its core, and I think it has no place at a winning organization. In short, The Athletic reported Monday that the Jets approached Wilson about starting at quarterback again after a horrific performance from Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian. Well, Trevor Siemian has poor performance written all on his name anyway. In a 13-8 loss to the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday, the former number 2 overall pick was reportedly hesitant to go back under center with some concern about getting injured. New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers stands on the field before an NFL football game against the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday, only just to tease people, you know, because there's talk about his comeback. But anyway, New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers came to Zach Wilson's defense on Tuesday after reports suggested Wilson was reluctant to play. Later that afternoon, Jets head coach Robert Saleh refuted the report. Let's be clear, Saleh said. If he was reluctant to play, guys, he wouldn't be here. And Saleh added that Wilson told him that he wanted the ball back in his hand and he wanted to play. Rodgers was beside himself about the implications for Wilson and that Saleh even needed to address the matter. The report is basically saying that this kid is quitting on the team and doesn't want to play and has given the middle finger to the organization, Rodgers said. Now listen, I don't want to speak for him because he's getting a chance this week to speak and I'm going to let him speak. I'll tell you that I love the kid. This does not sound like the Aaron Rodgers that we know. But, once again, he says, I love the kid, and I've spent a lot of time with him, and I think he's an amazing young man. He's gone through a lot of bleep in the last 3 years, and he's got every right to be frustrated and disappointed about it. I think he's done a good job of standing up and taking accountability this year when it's been his part to do it. New York is in the midst of a 5-game losing streak. It just waived Boyle on Tuesday and signed Brett Rippon off the Seattle Seahawks practice squad, and at 4-8, is nearly out of contention for the playoffs. Wilson, on paper, appears to be the team's best option at signal caller, but that won't officially be decided until Wednesday when Saleh announces the starter for Week 14. Wednesday is also the day that quarterbacks speak to the media, so it will also be the first opportunity for Wilson to publicly discuss the news around him. Again, Rodgers was irate that this was something that ever left the Jets facility and requires a conversation. His position is that the entire ordeal does nothing but hurt the team from a trust and moral standpoint. Some conversations are only meant for certain people and shouldn't leave the building, Rodgers said. There's a trust that goes along with being in the locker room where you say something to your homie and that bleep doesn't go anywhere. Or you say something in the team meeting and it doesn't go anywhere. There's been too many instances this season where stuff is happening. It's not okay, and we need to weed it out in whatever way necessary. So the old man has spoken. Question is anybody listening? Anyway, I want to say thank you for taking a ride along the A-Train Sports Talk podcast. Hope you have enjoyed this ride. Hope you have enjoyed this content. And trust me, I'll be back with some more of this good stuff this week. But until the next time, take care of yourself and each other. I'm out on the midnight train to work.